That little boop boop starts the show when I use this music. Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening today. It is Tuesday, December 5th, 2017. Happy December, in case you haven't heard me say that before this month, and welcome to today's show, which is going to be a good one. We have super guests, okay? We're going to be talking about digital portfolios supporting elementary learners. All right, and I've got Steve Wandler, my old buddy from Fresh Grade Education. Okay, you can learn more at freshgrade.com. But much more importantly, I've got the appropriately named Megan Power. Okay, and I'm going to read her resume when she comes on, and I think angels will come down from heaven and sparkle lights upon her. She's just amazing, and we're going to talk about how all this works. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org and tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio like we always do. You can friend us on Facebook over at EduTalk Radio. And, of course, I invite you to go over and check out my good friends over at EdCircuit.com for some great information on education. That's EdCircuit.com. Without further ado, let me bring on good old Steve Wandler, my buddy from Fresh Grade. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Larry?
Good to have you here again, my friend.
Yes, it's always good to be with you.
Thank you. And we've got that's enough out of you, Steve, because you brought on with you the most amazing person in the world here. Megan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, Megan, are you wearing a cape? I assume you are. You're like one of the Power Rangers. That's your last name. Okay. What was it originally before you changed it to Power? Okay. Because this is incredible. Okay. Are you ready? Megan, I'm going to read this first. Yeah, I'm serious. And I know you're hovering above the ground now because you're incredible. Megan Power. Okay, is a learning experience designer. I love that. At Design 39 campus in the Poway Unified School District in San Diego, California. Been in education for 15 years. Has taught students in transitional kindergarten through 7th grade with most of her experience in primary grades. You ready for this, everybody? Megan this year is one of 6 ambassador fellows. Six. There's 300 million people in this country. There's 6 ambassador fellows to the United States Department of Education. She's been on the 20 to watch list by my good friends over at the National School Board Association with the purpose of identifying that watch list. It identifies emerging leaders that will help shape the national education conversation for the next 20 years. In 2016, Megan was awarded as one of the top 30 technologists, transformers, and trailblazers by the Center for Digital Education. You're a 2016 emerging leader for my good friends at ASCD, very good friends like NSBA, and a 2016 for the Lowell Milken Center for Unsung Heroes. Megan is passionate, obviously, about reimagining education and the role education technology plays in learning. Okay, Megan, you are amazing.
Thank you.
And Steve Wandler,
drop the mic, Larry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
telling you. Steve is one of the co-founders of my friend over at Fresh Grade, and the only reason he's on the show today is because he likes Larry. Yeah, so that's it. That's the whole background in a nutshell. Megan, you're amazing. How do you do all this? Before we even get into digital portfolios, I mean, this is astounding. Wow. Just incredible. That's the most unbelievable resume. It's just incredible. And the organizations that recognize you're on my show a lot, I know them well. I know how great they are and how considerate they are as they choose people like you. And the Poway Unified School District in San Diego is the luckiest school district in America. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Yeah, there's education is just at a great place right now, and there's so many groups that are plowing the way and really leading these conversations. So it's just exciting to be part of all of it.
I think it's just wonderful, Meg. And your title right now, Steve, you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Just checking. Okay. Meg, you're a learning experience designer at Design 39 campus in Poway near San Diego. What does that all mean? A learning experience designer at the Design 39 campus. What's that mean?
Design 39 Campus is actually a fully public school that I helped to create with the help of 5 other people.
Why am I not surprised? Continue.
We're in our 4th year this year, so 5 years ago, a team of us really just were given an open road, really, and just said, we want you to change the way students experience learning. And we were able to create this amazing school and bring on such fascinating teachers that are just so inspired to work with students. And really, as you're looking at education, to try and change the role of the educator, because it's no longer the teacher in front of the classroom sharing knowledge and going through textbooks. It's really about facilitating learning. It's changing the role of students. So we really figured we had to change the language and not call people a teacher. Really, the role of a teacher is more a learning experience designer. So we don't have teachers here. We have learning experience designers on our campus.
And I know you didn't hear it from me, but I have been saying this. I've been doing Education Talk Radio for over 6 years. And I have been saying for years that the word teacher is the wrong name for the profession. Because when you say teacher, it puts the onus on that person. But it's not about that. It's about learning. Okay? And I have always said that we should change the name of the profession to learning facilitator. Learning experience designer is basically the same thing. Okay? And I'm very impressed with all this, Meg. I really am, and congratulations to you. You're the first person in the over 3,500 interviews I have done on education that have actually changed that title and made it work. Congratulations,
Meg.
We're on the same page.
And Larry,
page.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating to be in that school as well. As if anybody gets a chance to actually visit that campus, they really have redesigned workspaces and you know, the way kids obviously experience learning, but just how they engage in the conversation of learning is very noticeable in that building.
Oh, those lucky kids and lucky parents, which is what we're going to be talking about here. Steve, you're co-founder of FreshGrade and Digital Portfolios. Just before we get into the nitty-gritty here with Meg, just tell us what FreshGrade does and why a digital portfolio. What are the basic benefits, okay, that should make more and more educators and school districts move towards this, which is an incredible thing, and we are in the 21st century. Steve Wandler, co-founder of FreshGrade.
You make me smile. You know, Larry, the reason that I started FreshGrade was for the simple reason, as a parent, not really understanding what was happening in a building 3 miles down the road from my house with my kids.
Yeah.
And I was really frustrated with the communication that was coming back, specifically around learning. I mean, we get a lot of communication. We get newsletters, we get emails, but mostly it's what they're doing in the building as it relates to recreational things or other stuff that's not specific to my son or daughter. And then when I started seeing these report cards come home and not really telling the true story of what my kids know, because I'm having conversations with them at the dinner table and saying, why Noah, did you get a C- in this, but you can talk, you know, fluently about what the problem is, but he comes home with a piece of paper with red X's on it. And that's the grade, or that's the learning.
He got that out of my school bag. You got that out of my school bag. Trust me,
if you saw my report card, you'd know.
I've seen your report card. It wasn't good. Yeah.
Oh, man. It was, yeah. Well, if you turned it upside down, it would look really good, but not right side up. And so FreshGrade was really designed to really communicate the learning that's really going on outside of a grade. I am not a fan of grades for my kids, because I truly don't believe they communicate what it is they really know. And so I needed to find a way to bring that to the forefront. And today with technology, it really allows us to do that. I mean, with video and pictures and digital documents and you know, Facebook, you know more about what your distant friend is doing on Facebook than what your kids are doing in school. And it's
truth.
Time to change that.
Ain't that the truth?
So,
wow. Well, that's about the best analogy I've heard on this. It's true. And we got to get this together. Meg Power Ranger, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Meg. Megan Power Ranger, the learning experience designer, okay, over at Design 39 campus. You, obviously Steve came into the school, or somebody from first grade came into the school. How do, when you saw a digital portfolio and the power, no pun intended, the powerful educator you are, what came together in your head as an educator and then seeing these products, these digital portfolios?
Yeah, it's about that conversation of changing assessment and communicating that learning to parents. What we've seen really and some of the benefits of those e-portfolios are, as Steve mentioned, that increased communication about learning with parents. So I love that analogy with the Facebook and the distant friend. It's
so true. Yeah, great.
And I'm also a parent. I have two boys. Oh, wow. One's a second grader and one's a third grader. Yeah. They actually go to my school, so that's exciting.
That's key. And, that makes life easier. Makes life easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a teacher, I see that increased communication with learning with parents, but I also get it from the parent end, where my children will post. And then during the day, I'm able to see some of the learning that they've done and I can comment back. So it's not even just sharing out what they're doing. It's that communication back and forth, where I or other parents can, you know, ask questions or dig deeper about some of the learning that the students are sharing, and the students can respond back. So it becomes not just a sharing, but more of a conversation starter. I've seen a lot of increased student agency, even
That's
with
good.
Kids as young as kindergarten and transitional kindergarten, which in California is a little lower than kindergarten. But students reflecting. And being more responsible with their learning. So, you know, there's things of you talk about with students, how do you select the best work to showcase? What is a quality piece of your learning that's really going to share what you've learned? So kind of working through that with students and helping them to analyze their own learning has been a huge benefit of using ePortfolios. Another thing that I absolutely love, both again as a parent and as a teacher and educator, is having that archive. So no longer do you have those papers that parents save that are stuffed away in boxes or make their way to the trash can. You now have it digital, and it's archived right there, so I can look back at my children or my students from years past, and the students can and the parents can as well, and see their growth and see some of their learning. It's a nice record to have.
Right, so it's a wonderful record to have. And Steve, I want to ask you, because Meg just gave a great description. Just give some people, I don't want to say this, the physical description. I mean, fresh grade is, a computer and software and all that sort of thing. But just give a physical description that kind of matches what Meg said on what fresh grade actually does and what it looks like, which is a damn good digital portfolio.
Yeah, sure. From the parent side, I mean, there's three different aspects, really. There's the parent, the student, and the teacher, and all have slightly different experiences because they play different roles in the communication of learning. I'll speak first from the parent side. As a parent, again, we're tethered to our phones primarily, so and we don't do things unless our phones tell us to, right? If you need to show up somewhere, your calendar tells you to go there at a certain time. And if you want to message a friend or a friend messages you, it tells you that there's a message there. Well, FreshGrade is very similar to that. So it push notifies the parent. So the parent doesn't have to go log into this god-awful piece of software that they have to go look to see what the grade actually is or what's going on, because nobody goes to websites anymore. Websites push information to you. And so what happens is you get this artifact that it could be a video or a picture or a document that gets pushed to your phone. And then, as Megan said, there's a conversation that happens. So similar to Facebook or Instagram, there's a thread of information that happens underneath that artifact. So you can actually have a conversation about that specific piece and what that child knows. What I love about that is, and I'll use Noah as the example, because I live it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son, he's 12 years old, and he's a 12-year-old boy. He doesn't want to tell me everything, especially when it comes to math. So it's like, Noah, do you have any work to do? No. Mr. Kuffner the teacher said, we don't have anything to do. It's like, oh, really? Well, now they can't get away with it because they know that there's a communication line into the teacher if needed. But what I love about it is it removes that barrier so that I'm not having a conversation with the teacher. You're having a conversation with your kids. And that's really where the power comes in. So FreshGrade, think of it as a Facebook, a live private and really important. It's a private feed. Nobody has access to it. It's not published to the internet. We take privacy very, very seriously.
Good point.
This is important stuff, right? Like we're changing the way we're communicating learning. You don't want that out there on the internet.
Absolutely not.
Stays,
yeah.
And it stays
point.
With you. So as Megan said too, is this archival piece. So the child leaves with their portfolio in 12th grade, which I think is really powerful as we start to talk to post-secondary about redesigning what entry into post-secondary looks like.
That's exactly right. Remember I set you guys up with Scott Murray, the superintendent down in Texas, who's dying to follow up, okay, with his students after they leave school, after they leave 12th grade. Okay, and your product works so perfectly with that kind of thing. I have to ask you something though, Meg, a Power Ranger. Are you there, Ms. Power Ranger?
Yep, I'm still here.
You're good. Okay, so thanks, Steve. That was a good thing and a good description. I have to ask you. Okay, you taught, if I read this right, the transitional kindergarten through seventh grade, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you had some, I'll call them secondary kids, middle school kids, et cetera, all right? And when you deal with a digital portfolio, and the way I promoted this show, I said that to me it's true, the early years are the most important, and that's where parents really have to be the most active. Well, not that they shouldn't be active later, but you know what I mean. And I'm curious, as you taught kindergarten through seventh, and now you're using, what grades are you teaching now?
Kindergarten right now.
Okay, as young as they can get almost. All right, so my point is, how do you use the digital portfolio in a kindergarten setting? Kids can barely, they're just learning to read a little bit, and I don't know much about kindergarten anymore. It's been a long time, all right, and even for my kids. And how do you use it in a kindergarten to support elementary, especially that young learners? How to use a digital portfolio like that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would say it's used the exact same way as you would use it with older kids as well. So even with our kindergartners, we're having conversations about what a portfolio is, and kind of just teaching that skill of concept of a portfolio. I mean, you can bring it to life, especially at Design 39 Campus. We really try to connect with life and make experiences similar to what they're going to experience out in life. So, a perfect example, if you're going to have cabinets made, right, at your house, you're going to contact a carpenter, and you're probably going to want to see a portfolio of his work before you sign a contract and have him design the cabinets for you. So, in all aspects of life, services, different industries, that idea of portfolio comes into play. Mm-hmm. So even down with our younger learners, with our kindergartner learners, just getting them to understand that concept and see, what a portfolio is, how it can be powerful. As far as the technology piece, these guys pick things up very, very fast.
Yeah.
I can teach them how to post and use portfolios, use different apps very quickly. What it really takes is just the understanding of how to use the app purposefully and, what's the purpose behind it. And the kids even, I've taught them how to post digital portfolios probably within a small time period within one of the days. So it really doesn't take very long to teach students how to do that. The power is in teaching them how to select that quality of work, pieces portfolio, using it to help them reflect on their learning. So that's really where more of the teaching comes in versus the actual technology component.
And Larry, and you what know, we're finding.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Larry, what we're finding too is the challenge isn't actually the technology, as Megan said. The challenge is transferring the ownership of the learning to the student and allowing the student to actually do the posting. A lot of people think, oh, this seems more work for teachers. It's actually not more work. Well, I'd take that back. It is more work if the teachers are doing the work.
Yeah.
But the teacher shouldn't be doing the work. It should be the student because it's their work. It's not the teacher's work. And so we spend more time talking about what Megan keeps talking about is transferring that knowledge or allowing the students to think about what a quality portfolio looks like. It's not telling them what it is. It's having them think about what it is and what does it mean to them.
Good answer. And really, Steve, thank you. Puts it in perspective. And the other thing is, Meg, you know, we want the kids to show off. Like you, I'll use your carpenter analogy, okay? Obviously, that gentleman or lady is going to come in and they're going to show the best things they've done, okay? Guys, here's what we've done for other people in your neighborhood, and it's always beautiful stuff. And I have to ask you this because this is a kind of an important question. We don't want kids just to brag about their successes. We also – somebody make a noise. What's going? What was that? Everybody got it? Okay. Can you hear me, Meg?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. Was that you making all that noise or was that Steve?
That was not me.
That could be.
No, Steve. It was Steve. Okay.
Steve's making lunch.
Another red X.
Sorry, my ADHD got away on me, Larry.
That's okay. No problem, buddy. I just couldn't figure out what it was. But, you know, Meg, we also want the kids, and this is an odd question, especially with portfolios because you always like to show off, but we also want kids to learn from their failures. They don't have to be ashamed of failure. It just makes them better. And I'm curious if the kids understand that perspective as they put things up there. Well, it's a difficult question, but it's important.
No, I don't even think it's a difficult question at all. It's absolutely about the valuing the process over the product of their work. So, you know, with ePortfolios, there's a lot of different systems. With ePortfolios, students can post not just one photo or video. They can post multiple. And in that reflection piece, they can be showing the process of their learning. Usually, after students post, we have students write about what they did, what they learned, and then next time, like what will I try next time, or what mm-hmm. was challenging about this piece. So it lies in that reflection process because it's not just about showing your best work. Again, it's about that process of learning, adding in, you know, hey, when I was doing this writing, I didn't capitalize my letters, and I know how to capitalize my letters, and next time I'm going to focus more on capitalizing my letters.
You're teaching that in kindergarten?
Yes, absolutely. It's that whole reflection process. And to Steve's point about and my passion of changing that role of an educator with the concept of digital portfolios. And yes, I know some educators that have started using digital portfolios and the teachers are posting. And once they shift and they see that the kids are able to do it, it does become a lot less work. And you have to build in that time into the learning. But it really, it really shifts that role of the teacher and the educator to really more of what, you know, where nationwide we're going with education is not just the teacher sharing and doing the learning, you know, telling them what to learn, but the students actually being a part of it.
Right. I agree with you. What about, you're an exceptional teacher, but I'm sure the other people at the school are also wonderful, wonderful educators. Okay?
Oh, they absolutely are. I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Well, you are lucky and vice versa, I might add. Okay. And talk to me about, as you use a digital portfolio, the kids obviously move out of your classroom, I would assume, and go to first grade to another teacher. Okay, and you've probably had this too from the transitional kindergarten teacher or up to you. All right, I'm just curious how they're using the portfolios. Well, do the teachers like it? I don't mean in terms of time wise. I mean in terms of the information they're getting. How does it change their perspective of education for that kid?
Yeah, that's an absolute great question. So in our school, we do looping. So my last group of kids, I actually was with for 2 or 3 years. And they they just this year now looped up. They switched over to another learning experience designer. So I'd say we're, like, as a school site, we're early in that arena of taking a look at students' archived classes and previous work and using that to help streamline the changes. Because what we don't want in education, it happens a lot, is this whole, like, shampoo cycle, right? It's like add in the shampoo, wash, you know, rinse, repeat type of thing. A lot of times when kids go from one grade level to the next, to the next, to the next. So the hope is with an e-portfolio, students and educators can kind of see some of the learning and the progress that students have made in the past, along with other assessment data, and kind of break this whole wash, rinse, repeat cycle. So I'd say as a school site, we're still early in that area right now, but it's definitely a conversation that we're having. And, you know, as I talk with educators...
It allows you to have it. It allows you to have it.
And exactly. And as I talk with educators around the country, similar things, I think, that they're finding. And it brings up that next conversation of, okay, now we're using these e-portfolios. We're finding them very powerful. How is it changing instruction as students go up and change grade levels and change teachers?
It's really cool. And as I said before, it even goes beyond, school. You know, it's the portfolio of you, that student. And it's really cool. Meg, I have to ask you, you've had the kids with the digital portfolios, though it's early. What's the coolest thing you've seen happen with the digital portfolio? And you can describe coolest any way you want. What's the thing you went, wow? You went, wow, this is so cool.
All right, now that's a hard question to answer because there's a lot to choose from.
You can pick two or three. I don't care. Yeah,
Perfect.
Tell people
so,
what they can expect.
One, I can think of a student, and this was probably 2 years ago when we first kind of really started actually using e-portfolios with multiple classes. And this one student was posting, and he's a great kid. And his parents are wonderful, but both parents work. And they're not there at drop-off, and he goes to an after-school type of program, so we don't see parents at pickup. So as far as that parent communication, that face-to-face, we only had sporadically throughout the year at conferences or, you know, different events. Well, this child's parent absolutely is just a great example of the power of technology, was on there every time he posted, commenting and asking, like, probing questions. We did a lot of work with parents of how do you respond to your child. We want to get beyond good job. We want to have authentic responses, and it's that parent education piece as well. And this child's parent is a perfect example of how engaged and how involved they were in their child's learning. And it just gave them a window into what was going on in the classroom and that conversation starter. And I just remember my co-teacher, Amy Fosek, and I, we jumped into this journey together. And I remember the two of us just having the smile on our face because he was so excited. His parents were commenting back, and we were seeing this engagement at a level that we didn't typically see from this particular child and their parents.
Wow.
I'd say that's one story.
An eye-opener. Do it. Do another one. It's unbelievable. I love it.
I'd say, you know, some of the other ones, and this happens all the time with students, especially, I'd say at any grade level, but especially the younger ones, always makes me smile. When they just, my students just posted something on Friday, and we were just kind of sharing, and it was a pretty big post. They created something in a different app and then saved it, and it really was a reflection of a whole unit of study on patterns. We had just done an exhibition for parents, and we wanted to also capture that and be able to put it onto our digital e-portfolio so that way there's a record of it and students can reflect more on it. And I had, you know, students, and they were going around and they posted it. And within probably 3 minutes, I would say, if that, we had parents responding to them. And it just is so electrifying in the room when the kids, you know, post, and all of a sudden their parents are responding, and they just think it's like magic.
It is magic. It is.
It really is.
21st century magic.
They get so excited. And then the other cool thing is there's, you know, kids that parents don't necessarily respond as fast. And you better believe those kids go home and they are on their parents of, why didn't you respond right away?
Yeah. That is excellent. And, you know, which brings up the question. And, Steve, you know, this is interesting, a question. I think that's all wonderful, Meg. I got to tell you. Let me, Steve, how, you see this, I know, from your personal point of view. But how, when you talk to teachers all over the country, I want to say this right, how do they look at parent engagement? Do they want more of it, or do they find it to be a pain in the neck? I think it's answer one. I'm just trying to set up a question here. Okay.
Well, I think
I'm being serious. I'm being serious because some I hate to say it, sometimes parents can be nags. Okay. We probably were at times when my kid was growing up. All right. But my kids. But, you know,
well, you're
when,
nags.
When
you know
look
why
at
you're
this,
nags.
And I love this, but I know which way you're going to go, but I just wanted to ask the question.
across
the whole country.
You know what, Larry? You know why parents, I find, obviously I'm not an educator, but I literally travel all around North America talking to educators, and I had this experience. So first off, remember I have ADHD, but so I'm a little all over the place, but it's parents are nags, I believe, because they don't have enough information to inform them of what's happening
Perfect
with
answer.
Their kids.
Perfect
so,
answer.
So they need to know. And I'll give you a real example. Again, I'm going to use Noah. I was in his principal's office last week. This year, they are not using digital portfolios in his school. He moved schools. And I've been in that school more this year than I have in his last school for the entirety of his 6 years, because I don't know what's happening. And the principal said to me, Steve, it just feels like you don't trust us.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't trust you because I don't know what's happening with my son.
That's right.
This is my son.
Wow.
It is not.
Great. That's a great answer.
And so the trust factor comes in when communication is strong, right? And when you have strong communication, you have a lot of trust. And so when all that's going home is newsletters about random things in school versus is Noah actually doing okay, you're right. Parents are going to be nags because they don't know whether or not their son or daughter are going to be okay. And so we need to really change that. And from an engagement standpoint, a lot of schools and districts are looking at engagement very differently. And typically what I hear is engagement with parents is about communication layers. It's not specific to learning. And there's a lot of good apps out there that communicate what's going on in school, but it's not specific to their son or daughter around learning. And that's really what we're trying to change.
Yeah, and I'd love to jump in on that as well. I completely agree. It's not that parents are asking for more because they necessarily need more communication. It's just that's what they know. That's what they know how to ask for. But if you really listen when parents are asking, they might be asking for a communication log or a folder going home with papers. I know we found that a lot in the beginning with Design 39 Campus because we weren't doing homework packets and we weren't doing report cards. And some parents were asking to have that, weekly homework packet. And it really wasn't about that homework packet. That's not really what the parents were asking for. And they weren't asking for more communication. It was really just about a different kind of communication. So, yeah, teachers sometimes can feel like more communication. I'm sending out newsletters. I'm sending out all of this. And, yes, it's communication, but it's not necessarily the type of communication that the parents are wanting. So really it's kind of, we use a design thinking process here at Design 39 Campus, and it's about empathizing and figuring out what is the right type of communication that's going to meet their needs and not to add more on there, but kind of just to relook at, you know, what are the needs and what types of communication are out there that will meet those needs versus piling more onto teachers' plates.
I think it's wonderful, and Steve, I got to tell you, that answer you gave, and it's true, people nag when they don't have the right information. Okay.
Well,
the more,
if you think
the
about
more,
that from
a great
general
answer,
relationship, as a general relationship, Larry, in relationships, whether it's with your spouse or significant other or just a friend, you need quality communication in order to have that deeper engagement around relationship. And if you
and
don't have that,
whole
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and it makes the whole thing easier, okay, and takes it takes a burden off the educators, okay, when parents can see exactly what's going on from their kid's point of view, as opposed to, I loved your line, you know, when a kid comes home, what'd you do in school today? Nothing. Well, that's not true anymore. They can't say that anymore. All right, nobody's doing it. And Meg, you and your gang at Design 39 are absolutely incredible. I mean, it just sounds like a great school.
It is, and we're just constantly looking at, you know, what are the challenges and what are different ways that we can try and solve those as a team with parents and students at the table.
Hear, hear. Boy, I'm going to let it go with that because that just about sums it all up. Digital portfolios, everybody. Freshgrade.com. Steve, thanks a million, and thank you and Emma and everybody over there for bringing Megan on. What a wonder you are, Megan.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, anytime. Megan Power Ranger, everybody. The most incredible. All these awards and just great. And Megan does not have a parking space. She puts on a cape at home and flies in with the kids on her back, I assume.
Absolutely.
There you go. No need to scoot over that San Diego traffic. And Steve, where are you today, by the way, Steve? Where are you?
I'm in San Francisco today.
Hard take. All right. And, oh, you get any of those fires, Megan? Are those fires near you? You're in California today.
Yeah, nothing right around in this particular area right now, but it was very blustery, windy out this morning, so fingers crossed we'll be good.
Believe me, we're thinking of you. I see those things every day when they happen in California. It's scary. And, Steve, I'll talk to you again soon, my friend. And, Megan, you're welcome here anytime. Remember, we exist.
Definitely. I'd love to come back.
You are more than welcome. And bring your co-teacher and anyone you want else on that you want, okay? So I'll be in touch. And, Steve, thanks a million. And Megan, thank you. Keep up the good work, both of you. It's appreciated, believe me. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Meg. Okay, well, incredible. Well, Megan's amazing. Megan Power, everybody. Design 39 campus in the Poway Unified School District, which is basically San Diego or around San Diego. And all those awards, just incredible. And what a great school. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. These digital portfolios are hot. Check out FreshGrade. Okay, freshgrade.com. They tweet, of course, at FreshGrade. All right, we talked to Steve Wandler, by the way, over there. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening.